Welcome to this, our heritage audio trail, one of a series exploring the history of the mussel fishing industry in Conwy. Discover the tales of our ancestors and how their lives shaped the landscape and culture of the whales we see today. The Conwy mussel industry has existed for a long time. In fact, not so many years ago, over 90 fishermen worked on the Conwy River fishing for mussels. Despite increased competition from dredged and rope-grown mussels and changes to purification regulations, the way mussels are fished remains unchanged. In Roman times, valuable pearls could be found in the mussels of the River Conwy. A pearl from the shores upstream gleams among the crown jewels. This exceptionally large jewel was allegedly presented to Catherine, consort of Charles II, by her chamberlain Sir Richard Wynne of Gwydir in the 17th century. Over the years, trade in pearls flourished, with Conwy soon becoming one of the most important pearl fisheries in Britain. For years, mussels had been fished solely for these pearls, with the flesh from the shellfish being cast aside or fed to animals. As pearls became more rare, mussels were fished especially for their food, and the industry that thrives today was born. Cistercian monks had settled here in the 13th century at Aberconwy Abbey, now the site of St Mary's Church, and taught farming and fishing techniques to locals. The monks fished the estuary for mussels, cockles and oysters, and were the designers of the long-handled pitch pine rakes that are still used by today's Conwy musselmen. Two centuries later, after Owain Glyndŵr's rebellion, by 1410, according to E. Howson's An Historic Tour of Conwy, published by Cyhoeddiadau May in 1980, the inhabitants of Conwy began to look to their own prosperity and trade began to improve. Conwy developed a reputation for providing particularly good oysters and mussels, for which it became quite famous. E. Howson adds that people would travel to Conwy to work on the mussel and oyster beds looking for pearls. When restoration work was carried out on the castle during the 1920s, huge piles of oyster shells were discovered under the floor of the Great Hall of the castle. In his History and Antiquities of the Town of Aberconwy and its Neighbourhood, Reverend Robert Williams in 1835 alludes to the continuing search for pearls and to the two varieties of Conwy pearl mussels, and with mussels spelled as part of the body. There are two kinds of mussels found in the Conwy from which pearls are obtained: Maia margaritifera, Kraken adiliw, and the Mytilus edulis, Kraken ids. He describes how those of the former species are procured high up the river above Trefriw, and pearls scarcely inferior to the oriental ones are occasionally found in them. The pearl which Sir Richard Wynne of Gwydir, chamberlain to Catherine, Queen of Charles II, presented to Her Majesty was of this kind, and it is said that it adorned the regal crown. These fine pearls are but seldom met with, although the shells are common and the search of them does not afford regular employment. This shell is 5.5 inches long and 2.5 broad. The other variety, the Kraken Lass, is found in abundance on the bar at the mouth of the river, and great quantities of the mussels are daily gathered by numbers of industrious persons. At ebb tide, the fishers, men, women and children, may be observed busily collecting the mussels until they are driven away by the flood. The fish are picked out and put into a tub and stamped with the feet until they are reduced to a pulp, when, water being poured in, the animal matter floats, which is called solach, and is used as food for ducks, while the sand, particles of stone and the pearls settle in the bottom. After numerous washings, the sediment is carefully collected and dried, and the pearls, even the most minute, are separated with a feather on a large wooden platter. The pearls are then taken to the agent, who pays for them so much an ounce. The price varies from 1 shilling and sixpence to 3 shillings, according to the supply. Although the mussels are not so abundant as formerly, it is surprising that the great quantities collected have not exhausted the beds. The final destination of these pearls is completely hid in mystery, and is only known to the gentleman who buys them up, the fortunate possessor of what is a valuable secret. Since the first days of the mussel fishing industry, generations of the same few families of Conwy fishermen have worked here, on the same beaches in the estuary. Until quite recently, the women of the mussel fishing families could also be found picking and sorting. The musselmen used the same techniques as their forefathers did, with the mussels being gently raked up from the beds and dropped into the boats before being brought to shore for sorting and cleaning. The Conwy mussel industry has thus survived for hundreds of years. Despite intrusions by the tunnel workings, increased competition from dredged and rope grown mussels, stringent purification regulations, and the fact that only a handful of licenses are held today, the sought after Conwy mussels are enthusiastically fished here in essentially the same way as they were long ago. 1. Castlebank Hotel. Castlebank Hotel on Mount Pleasant is an imposing Grade 2 listed Victorian townhouse, set in its own grounds by the walls of Conwy's Castle. It became a hotel in 1976, having passed through various hands until it was bought by the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries in 1923, and for 50 years would become the main research UK centre for oysters and mussels, equipped with a laboratory and a library, tank rooms and offices. Conwy people who enjoyed eating mussels had suffered from outbreaks of food poisoning in the early 20th century. A Llandudno GP, Dr. R. W. Dodgson, had noticed that many of his patients had presented with symptoms of food poisoning from eating shellfish. Dr. Dodgson was believed to be the brother of Lewis Carroll, who is said to have written Alice in Wonderland in Llandudno. Dr. Dodgson, though not a marine biologist, began to focus on ways of cleaning mussels. He soon developed a system of purifying mussels with seawater sterilised with bleach. The Conwy mussel beds were closed in 1912 on public health grounds, and the first mussel purification plant, called the Tanks, was set up by Conwy Corporation at Benarth. Through the town, turn right at roundabout before bridge, and head towards the Bowling Green. Details can be found on Trail 1. A government research centre then opened here at Castlebank Conwy, now a hotel. Castlebank was bought by the Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries in 1923, and for 50 years it became the main research UK centre for oysters and mussels. Castlebank was fitted out as a laboratory with staircases widened, a library created on the second floor, offices at the top of the building, and tank rooms in the basement. Here, the method of purifying the shellfish was developed, and before long, consumers were able to enjoy the mussels without fears for their health. From Mount Pleasant, walk down towards the quay, past the castle walls, along Town Ditch Road, turning left into Lower Gate Street at the bottom, beware, no pavement. Ahead, you will find a house called Glan yr Afon. To the left is Marine Walk and Shore Cottage, the site of a fisherman's home made of beach pebbles that dates from the 13th century. 2. The Joiner's Arms Beach. You are now at the site of the old pub, the Joiner's Arms, now Glan yr Afon, and the Joiner's Arms Beach, also known as Second Beach, and the chosen beach of Johnny Roberts' mussel fishing family. Johnny Roberts, who now runs the Castle Gallery Cafe, recalls setting off from this beach to fish for mussels around the distant perch, visible from Tuthill Point at the bend in Marine Walk. Johnny, fishing with his father, John Lonnith, whose photograph is to be found on the cafe walls among those of Johnny's many relatives and friends, remembers it as a great life. When it was dry, he says, in the middle, where the perch is, they called Green Island. The fishers wrapped their fingers in calico and used homemade tuckers to collect the mussels. Then they tried marigold gloves, and Johnny invites you to imagine the burly men in yellow marigolds. But they soon fell apart, so they resumed wearing the calico. At the start of the season, the fishermen's shoulders would be raw from the rakes, remembers Johnny, and the gatherer's hands soft, but they soon hardened up. The men would come back on the flood to the tanks at Benarth, carrying their sacks of mussels for cleaning and weighing. Crossfields of Arnside, prolific boat builders in their day, opened the yard at Conwy near the Joiner's Arms beach against the castle wall, inside the wing gates. Continuing right, you can pass through the wing gates towards the quay, walking along past the smallest house and towards the Liverpool Arms. Passing the smallest house, one of Conwy's biggest attractions, one learns that a fisherman named Robert Jones lived here until 1900, and also that mussel gathering has continued through the decades despite the fluctuations in other local industries. 3. The Liverpool Arms. Once known as the glue pot, as no one could supposedly get out once they'd got in, this pub, a favourite of the mussel men, is built against part of the town walls, close to the original archway at Porth Isaf, Lower Gate. The Liverpool Arms is said to have been first owned by a ship's captain who sailed between Liverpool and Conwy. A Cadw survey of 1961 suggests that the pub was built in the late 18th century, and records from the Gwynedd Archaeological Trust show it on a map of 1776, where it is described as a house and garden through ye gates. The pub was kept by John Jones, captain of the Conway Castle, a packet that sailed between Conway and Liverpool around 1837, which explains the name. He and his family lie in St Mary's Churchyard. In the early 1900s, a Mrs Craven of the Craven fishing family had been the licensee. The present licensee is Jonathan Jones, who has run the pub with his wife Claire for over 15 years. It is said that from the time of Edward I, Lower Gates, with its harbour access, had been one of the most important gateways to the town. Edward's troops used one of the towers flanking the gate as a tavern, so it is not surprising that a hostelry was built on the same spot. The town wall runs through the building, and the present day cellar is in one of the towers. The pub is mentioned in 1837 in a book called A Trip to Conwy, which records that the writer landed at Conwy, lodged there very comfortably overnight, and after an excellent dinner of trout, and maybe mussels, boarded the Conwy Castle again for home. Musselman John Dunphy Roberts, who crewed for the Conwy and Llandudno lifeboats until 20 years ago, served on the Lancashire and North Wales Sea Fisheries Committee. He also represented the mussel fishers and their interests for many years as chairman of the Conwy Harbour Committee and as chairman of the Conwy Mussel Men's Association. John remembers coming back from musseling trips to change his clothes in the car before a meeting, none of which he missed, while the others all disappeared inside the Liverpool Arms for a well-earned pint. Fishermen still use the pub today, and its walls are covered in photographs of Conwy characters and their craft. George Hughes, a Conwy boy from the Hughes clan now living in Chester, who used to go musseling with his father as a young man, fondly remembers the old sing-alongs in the Liverpool Arms. 4. Dunphy's Corner. After leaving the Liverpool Arms, turn right through Porth Isaf towards the High Street. Dunphy's Corner is at the top on Lancaster Square, a listed building which is now the site of George Edwards newsagents. The Dunphys were originally a family of business people who had premises in Craigadon, Deganwy and Conwy. Musselman John Keith Roberts, known to all as John Dunphy Roberts, was born in the large flat at what is called Dunphy's Corner, at the top of the High Street, where his family has lived for more than 80 years. It was a close-knit fishing family, with his father's father and his mother's family, all fishermen, and John's maiden aunts, Gladys and Nell, also keen fisherwomen. John used to take the two women out every day as they refused to retire. Their job was to pick through and sort the raked mussels. They would come up from the quay in the early morning to go mussling and knock John's family up. Then they would be on the beach at 5:30 a.m. with lamps, having a conference to decide if it was too nasty to go out, which they never accepted it was. As they worked, local musselmen would be familiar with the strains of Jerusalem coming across the harbour from the Welsh nightingale opera singer Gladys. John lived at Dunphy's Corner with his mother and father and three sisters, but says he was more often at the house of his grandmother, Elizabeth, who had earlier moved with John's father and sisters, Gladys and Nell, from a fisherman's cottage on the quay. Number 13, next door but one to the smallest house, to 3 Berry Street. When John married, he bought the cottage at number 13, and now his brother-in-law, John Roberts, lives in the flat at Dunphy's Corner. John remembers that as a child he was always in the mussel tanks or boats, and like the other children, never wore a life jacket. They were brought up to the hard work of mussel fishing. 3 times a week, from the age of 10, at holidays and weekends, they'd be helping out, all the children earning pocket money that way. John also helped out at shovelling the shellfish into the 100-pound bags and labelling them with their destination and the dates before the lead seal was added and they were sent off to market. In the mussel fishing season, which runs from September to Easter, the fishers would go out on the ebb tide and return with the catch on the flood. They would be looking for soft ground, knowing they'd find mussels when they came to mud. They would be working for 4 hours at a time, with the most severe conditions on the winter mornings when it was often freezing. John can be seen in a 1948 photograph of the musselmen, where John is the youngest of 30 fishermen, in the collection of Johnny Roberts at the Castle Gallery Cafe. Johnny's father, John, was John Keith's fishing partner for years. Young Johnny joined them to work with John Dunphy. John can recall the glory days of mussel fishing in Conwy in the 1950s and 1960s, which was around the time of the highest rates for shellfish and wetfish in Conwy, and when the highest numbers of mussels were caught. From Dunphy's Corner, facing Llywelyn's statue, walk left along Bangor Road, past the Information Centre and into Rose Hill Street and Car Park. You will find the Castle Gallery Cafe well signposted as you head through the car park close to the Press Room Cafe and the castle entrance. Five, the Castle Gallery Cafe. Ex-musselman Johnny Roberts, mentioned in relation to the Joiner's Arms Beach, and his wife Geraldine will make you welcome in the cosy cafe, which is open from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in the season. Johnny is happy to point out the photographs and tell the stories of his relatives and friends that fill the walls. For instance, indicating a photograph of himself, his father and his 87-year-old aunt in a fishing boat, Johnny will talk warmly of the renowned mussel fishing families in Conwy, the Jones, Roberts, Hughes and Craven dynasties, of which he was the last Roberts boy to work in the trade. Johnny retired from the mussel fishing life around the age of 40 to create a steadier income for his family, as the mussel fishing industry was by then in decline. From the age of 8, Johnny had helped his grandfather taking trippers out on the rowing boats. His father and grandfather were licensed to fish for salmon in the summer, while musseling in the winter from the beds which lie at the mouth of the river, the mussels always feeding in the same place. Sometimes they would be out at 3 or 4 in the morning, knocking ice off the rake and the oars. A launch would tow 4 or 5 boats out, and there would be 1 raker and 2 gatherers in each boat. Johnny worked as a gatherer, and got to know the varieties of mussels so well that he can tell you where any Conwy mussel is from by its size and colour. He remembers the great camaraderie among the fishermen, as well as the tough times when friends were lost. It is possible to visit Conwy mussels if required. Walk out of Rosehill car park and turn right. Cross at roundabout and descend through Porthbach. The museum is on the quay to your left. Rising sun takes the mist away. Boats launch. Laughing and joking musclemen start work early. My auntie points to the tide going out. Her weather-beaten face smiles towards the rising sun. Her wrinkles are like sun rays. Light from her eyes warms me up at my first morning as the mussel gatherer. I am 80 years old in this photograph. Conwy Town, my family nest, life flows as the river. Tamara Rogers. It's very cold. The sun has yet to rise, but there's a pinkish glow in the sky. Still glazed and mute with sleep, I nod a greeting to the milkman as he manoeuvres his float down the cobbled hill of the dream-bound town, leaving a sound of clinking milk bottles in his wake. Down on the quay, seagulls mew like hungry cats, while the little boats lying at anchor turn to face the fast-running tide. All at once, I am hit by the familiar salt, fish and oil tang of the river, and the sound of slurping and sucking as it laps against the harbour walls and licks the hulls of docked boats. The launch and mussel boats are already at the slipway, loaded up with rakes and rope baskets. Voices carry across the water. The lads' heads are wreathed in plumes of steam as their hot laughter meets the frosty air. A full, faded moon, the cry of oyster catchers, light on the water. Beth Bithell. This audio trail was created by Tape Community Music and Film with the Writer Within through the Our Heritage project led by Gwynedd Council in partnership with Conwy Council, Snowdonian National Park Authority and partners. It is part of the Heritage Tourism project led by Cadw and is part funded by the European Regional Development Fund through the Welsh Government.